racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Once again, welcome to the Grill Room Golf Show and Podcast, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. I'm Bob Bupke, here with Jay Randolph Jr., better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter, and we got so much to talk about. Jay Bird, obviously, dominating our show today is going to be Tiger, but just briefly, because I know your dad, and I know you had some associations with the one, the only, the greatest baseball announcer of all time, Vin Scully, threw out the first ball the other night. I was on the edge of my seat on somebody throwing out the first ball. That's how impressed I was.
Yeah, I think people that, not only broadcasters, but people that love baseball, look at Vin as the best of all time. And I feel like I've gotten to know him through his relationship with my dad, and I feel like I knew the second best baseball announcer of all time, and that's Jack Buck. Now, a lot of people may bring up Ernie Harwell, and there's a ton of guys out there, but Vin is, as somebody would say, the creme de la creme. He is the best, and what a true gentleman too. And you know, people may forget, NBC hired him, Bob, to come over and do golf, and he really, he loved doing it. He didn't maybe know as much as some of the other lead golf analysts, but he tried and was great with the sponsors.
You know, last week they were playing the Champions Tour out at Sherwood, and they used to play Tiger Woods' tournament out there. And if you stand on the first tee and you look up to the left, you see this magnificent home, and I was told that, hey, that's where Vin Scully lives. And I'd look up there, and I'd say, wow, what a beautiful home. I said, what about that house next to Vince? It looks like it's twice as big. And I was told, oh, she's the leading porn star in L.A.
That'll tell you something.
I always think that of Vince Scully, and boy, oh boy, you know, and I'm being honest, listeners, when I saw Vince Scully out there, I automatically thought of Jay Randolph Sr. because he's in that collection of all-time great announcers. And speaking of all times, well, we're going to start a new feature this week, and I'm excited about it. It's called Groove Up with Vertical Groove Golf. It'll be featuring all the stats, news, previews, product information, and so much more. But we got to get today's show underway, Jay Bird, and we have to begin with Tiger's big news. He's decided to tee it up again.
Well, Bob, a couple of weeks ago after he posted the video on Twitter of him hitting the golf ball and hitting the stinger, we talked at length about it and what it meant. And I think there are a lot of people that thought at that time, if he's putting out a video of himself hitting a golf shot, maybe he's thinking of competing. And clearly that was the case. And, you know, I'm going at this with very kid gloves because, you know, I don't want to say we got burned last time, Bob, but it didn't work out. And it's going to be very interesting to see how he goes through this process.
And when I look at it, Jay, there's no better place, I don't think, for Tiger to resume than in the Hero World Challenge down in the Bahamas. A couple of reasons that make it ideal is the fact that, A, it's a limited field event. There's only going to be 18 players. There's no cut. So Tiger's guaranteed four rounds. There's limited media that'll be in attendance, so it won't be, you know, the throng that he normally gets. And also limited gallery. You know, with everything that's happened, if you go to general public, I mean, the larger the gallery, the greater the chance that – there might be hecklers in the gallery against Tiger Woods, but that's not going to happen down in the Bahamas. So on so many fronts, Jay, this is the ideal place. I know he did it a year ago, but still, I think that this is the ideal place for him to relaunch his career.
Well, there's no question about it. Those reasons you gave and your understanding of the event itself, it's almost like it's his own club championship. I mean, it's that almost like that type of an event. I mean, there's a lot of money at stake, and they're going to be playing hard, and you got some of the world's best players. But as you said, Bob, he did this last year, and he shot 65 in the second round, and everybody looked at that 65 on their screen and went, oh my. And you know, he made the second most birdies over the 4 days. And it gave us some hope, but it ended up being false hope. So you're dead on. I mean, you couldn't pick a better venue to come back and a better situation. But is this going to be Groundhog Day, or is this going to be different?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. Obviously, Tiger spent a lot of time rehabilitating. He's been doing a lot of business. This has afforded some quality time with his children. But I'm still under the impression, Jay, and you know, we've been fortunate. Both of us have gotten to know Tiger over the years. I've been in person at every one of his major championships. I think it's still inside the ropes is really Tiger's comfort zone.
Well, I think that's an excellent point. I mean, I think that's where he feels at ease. You know, I think that one of the things we lost sight of, Bob, early on was how good he was at dealing with who he was. I mean, you think about so many younger people that have had great success and great wealth, and things go bad. Now, you know, you can look at it and say, what the heck's Jay talking about? How about that Thanksgiving week where it went bad? Yeah, it went bad, but the way he handled himself, and Bob was there and saw it, and he had some people managing some of that for him. But, you know, he's a fascinating individual, and we both know that the best thing for our game is to have him competitive for 3 to 5 more years. That would be unbelievable.
Yeah, it absolutely would. And right now, you know, I'd take 1 year. I'd take this year. and you know, I don't want to be greedy. The interesting thing about Tiger coming back and competing, it gets him out of that cocoon that he lives in, you know, his mansion there in Jupiter in Florida. It has his own practice ground, his own gym. You know, it's really difficult to get a pulse on how much he's been working out, how much practice he's gotten in behind the scenes. One thing that, you know, I want to get from you, I know how I feel. I think the competitive spirit in Tiger Woods is burning as bright now as maybe it ever has, and maybe even a little bit brighter.
I don't think there's any question. As we've talked about before, Bob, I mean, whether it's a game of tiddlywinks or pitching pennies or shooting free throws or trying to win a golf tournament, this guy is up there as one of the greatest competitors of all time. And you know, the hope is that the fire and the competitive instincts, Bob, are not the only driving force, that there's actually quality golf behind it. Because we've seen people that have had that competitive nature that haven't necessarily been able to say, maybe it's time to go, and they play out the string a little long. Again, one of those things we're going to have to watch and wait and see. But you and I both know that competitive fire is not leaving him probably anytime soon.
But the one fact that keeps hitting me in the face every time I start to get a little excited about Tiger Woods coming back and competing, 2018 will be 10 years since Tiger won his last major. 10 years, Jay.
Boy, that's a staggering number. And I think everybody needs to take that in for a minute. I'm glad you pointed it out, Bob, because it wasn't on the top of my mind. But you're right. In June of 2018, it'll be 10 years. And that's 40 majors worth of golf. That's a lot. I mean, nobody, Bob and I would have bet anything we had in our pockets that the man couldn't go 10 major championships without winning one. So that's a staggering number. And we have to probably, along with him, maybe scale back the expectations a little bit.
Well, before our listeners start staggering too much, it's time for me to tell them they're listening to The Groove Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Now, Jay, let's turn to our new segment, Groove Up with Vertical Groove Golf, and what a year it has been for Vertical Groove Golf.
Yeah, you remember a few weeks ago after the SAS Championship, the SAS Championship on the PGA Tour Champions, we talked about Doug Garwood, a guy that's not necessarily a household name, but a real stick, doing well. Certainly, you know, a guy that they're starting to see on leaderboards, eventually finishing second while he hit 88% of the fairways. That's basically missing one fairway. Think about that when you go out and play and you only miss one fairway. A lot of you like to just hit one fairway. That's the week he switched to the vertical groove driver. 88% of the fairways hit in tournament play. That's staggering. How did Garwood finish the last three events since putting that vertical groove driver in play? Tied for second at the SAS Championship, tied for eighth at Dominion Energy Charity Championship, and then a tie for fifth at the PowerShares Triple Q Championship. Prior to that, his best finish of the season was just one top 10, Bob, back in February.
You know, Jay, we can tell listeners that the vertical groove driver is going to help their game. It certainly has helped your game. You won a rather prestigious tournament earlier in the year after making that switch. But, you know, facts are facts. And when you look at Doug Garwood and what he's done since putting that club in his bag, it's incredible. What about Kenny Perry? He put the club in his bag, and he won the Senior Open. John Daly is still playing some great golf, even though he's having some knee problems lately. We wish him the very best. And when I look at this Charles Schwab Championship coming up next week, it's only a 36-man field, but three of the top 36 players are playing vertical groove driver. What more do you need to know to help your game out? It's coming holiday season. Do yourself a favor. Buy your own Christmas present. Just go and put a vertical groove driver in the bag. You'll be sending emails and texts and whatever you can send into Jay and I next year telling us thank you. And John Daly still leading year-to-date driving distance, 296 with that vertical groove driver. Come on, Jay. I mean, facts speak for themselves.
Well, it's the grooves that go vertical rather than horizontal. It reduces the side spin put on a shot, which increases the distance and accuracy. As somebody who doesn't play the game as much as I used to, it's the perfect driver for me because I've got confidence in it, and it does what it says. All our listeners need to do, Bob, as I did, and I have done for customers at Normandy Golf Club, is go to vertgolf.com, and you can customize your driver. You can pick the grip type, the shaft. All the bells and whistles are there. Vertical Groove Golf, it would be a tremendous holiday gift. And remember, vertgolf.com, that they are available not only in the U.S., Bob, but also in the U.K., Europe, South Africa, and South Korea.
Around the world, they're finding out the benefits of a vertical groove driver. Why not experience it for yourself? All right, Jay, what about the finish at the WGC HSBC Champions in Shanghai, China? I don't know what I thought when I woke up and found out who won that event.
Well, if it would have been close going into the final round, I might have given it a look overnight. But waking up the next morning, and I kind of jokingly said, well, I'll just see how many DJ won by. And there it was, Justin Rose. Really a surprise. You know, somebody had told me, I didn't get to see Saturday's finish, but they said DJ had made a mess of the 18th hole the day before, even though he ended up making birdie because of some rulings and some different stuff. And then he got off to a bad start with bogeys at 1 and 2, and that set the tone for him. He didn't make a birdie in the final round, 5 bogeys, and the human ATM machine, Justin Rose, said, thank you, and now I'll get a trophy to go along with the money.
Yeah, it just goes to show you never want to give up. Here's Rose after that victory.
That's unbelievable, really. I mean, obviously, we all know the position DJ was in, and I think today was the kind of day that a leader probably didn't want. Well, you want a 6-shot lead any time, but this was the kind of day where that kind of swing is possible. Obviously, I shot 5-under in some really tough conditions, and he had to play good golf to keep it around par today, and obviously he made a few mistakes, but it was really tricky out there. And obviously I played one of the best back nines I've played in for forever, and to shoot 31 on the back to come through, and I saved my best till last. It's been a long time since I'd won, or at least it feels like that, and I guess it's actually, well, I've won every year since 2010, if you include the Olympics. Obviously, last year was my only win. This is my only win in 17. I left it late this year, but it feels amazing.
Well, he is amazing, Jay. As nice as he is, you know, on the golf course, letting his game speak for itself, off the golf course, he's just a wonderful ambassador. We're lucky to have him. Congratulations from the Grill Room to Justin Rose. Also, congratulations, Jay. He waited till he's 41 years old, but he got his first victory. And, of course, I'm talking about Ryan Armour.
Old golf pro used to tell me, son, just keep playing, and someday they'll pat you on the back and say, here's the trophy. And that's what they did to Ryan Armour. And as opposed to the situation where Dustin Johnson kind of collapsed, Ryan Armour went ahead and finished off what had been a tremendous week for him. Congratulations to him. A win is a win, and Ryan will be going to Maui with Bob and Janice for the Century Tournament of Champions in January.
You had to rub that in. We were just looking at flights the other day. Can't wait to get there. Maui, just one of my favorite places.
And Bob, what's up this week on the PGA Tour schedule? We both like to be maybe rolling out there for this one.
I knew you'd ask me that question because you know how much it hurts me not to be there. Boy, back in the day, we had some fun. They're going to be playing in Las Vegas, great event. Rod Pampling, the defending champion, that was quite a victory last year. Some real notables in the field, though, Jay. Ernie Els, Webb Simpson, former U.S. Open winner, Ryan Moore, who went to UNLV. Ryan Armour is going to be there coming off his victory. Graham McDowell, Sam Saunders. Sam Saunders, the grandson of Arnold Palmer. Certainly somebody I would love to see get a victory on the PGA Tour. I think that would be good for the game.
Oh, it would be fantastic for the game, and he's a fine young man. Jimmy Walker's also going to put it in the air. Charlie Hoffman, who's won it twice, is playing. And Sangmun Bae, a guy we're keeping our eye on as he comes back after 2 years military service. It's a good field they've got this week in Las Vegas, and nice to kind of start to close down the wraparound season.
Yeah, and it's a good cause, too. The Shriners Hospital for Children's Open out there at TPC Summerlin. Good luck to everybody involved with that event, and I'm sure we're going to get another great winner.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis. Talk Sport 2. Tune in. Audio Boom, iTunes, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and Spreaker on Alexa. All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we return, we're going to take a look at another longer miracle on the PGA Tour Champions.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management.
Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
We certainly appreciate you taking some time out to listen to the Grill Room. I'm Bob, and he's Jay, and he's the man. And when I say he's the man, I got to be talking about Bernhard Langer. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about in the Grill Room what somebody would have to do to bump him from first place in the Schwab Cup standings. Well, that didn't happen. He wins 2 weeks ago, and then he won this past week. The man is amazing.
I mean, you run out of superlatives. He seems ageless at 60 years of age. How long can this go? I mean, he's won seven times and 2 second place finishes to go along with 3/3. And his scoring average at the age of 60, Bob, is 68.04. And as I said last week when we talked about him, if the Champions Tour was at a stage that it was in the early to mid-80s, I mean, this would be a gigantic story. It is a big story for the golf geeks like you and me, but, I mean, I don't know that somebody's going to be able to surpass what he has done.
Well, the thing that impresses me, Jay, loving the game of golf like we do, and you devoting so much time now to getting things done properly at Normandy, and we're going to be in St. Louis next year for the PGA Championship. Already looking forward to that. What impresses me about Bernhard Langer, he does it with style, he does it with class, and who better to, you know, pass the torch along to anybody that wants to take up this game of golf and then follow the ideals of a Bernhard Langer.
Let's take another short break, and when we return, we'll hear our feature interview this week with Bobby Weed, noted golf course designer. He not only learned the trade from the legendary Pete Dye, but he and his wife have also started a foundation called EEL, helping enrich autistic lives. We'll hear about it when we return.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
A feature interview this week in the Grill Room. It's going to be with Bobby Weed and his company called Bobby Weed Golf Design. And, you know, when I look at how you got into the business and where you learned it from And I see that you spent a great deal of time with Pete Dye. My initial reaction, Bobby Weed, was to say, well, if somebody wanted to learn to be a Catholic, they'd go to the Pope. If somebody wanted to be a golf course designer, they'd go to Pete Dye. I mean, I know Pete personally, and sheer genius. And what was it like for you learning your trade under him?
Well, I mean, I think you put it very, very appropriately, Bob. I'm very blessed in many ways, and to have a mentor such as Pete Dye to take me under his wing, along with his wife Alice as well, was certainly a career and life-changing opportunity for me when we first met back in the late 70s, and we've had an ongoing relationship, both from a business and professional standpoint, but also very much on a personal level. And I consider him somewhere between my mentor and my father in a lot of ways, and best friend, and you know, certainly to be, in my opinion, and lots of others, to be the greatest architect in the modern era, to have such a close relationship is very special.
No, it really is. And I've admired Pete Dye's work for years. His eye to me is always incredible. What he sees on a flat piece of land, very few people have the talent to see what he does. And Bobby, you know, you list your golf course design business, specializing in design, renovation, and repurposing. And I want you to focus just for a minute on the repurposing aspect of what you do. What does that mean, actually?
Well, I think repurposing is something that's come about in the last 10 or 15 years for us, and we've done a number of them where we take existing golf courses, and there's a lot of them in the country today, as the business of golf has a bit of a black eye. And these clubs that have debt, and you know, debt's like the anchor, it's hard to carry it around. And these clubs are strapped, and they can't get out from under their debt. They can't make the improvements that they need to be competitive in the marketplace. And you can only assess the members, you know, so much. So what we have done is we've come in and taken a 30,000 foot look down on these golf courses that we're called into to assist. And we find some infill development opportunities within the parcel of the golf course, and we can move a few holes around. We're working up in New Jersey. We just relocated the driving range, moved a few holes around, and created a 14-acre parcel that we rezoned and re-entitled and took it to the marketplace, and just made a substantial deal with a developer who's building 98, a national builder who's building 98 townhomes, and it's going to allow the club to get out from under their debt. It's going to allow the club to renovate not only and build the new holes that we had to do, but renovate the rest of the golf course. And it makes them now competitive in the marketplace. And it's breathing new life into these clubs that have been struggling, and they don't have capital reserves. They don't have the necessary funds to make the improvements to their golf course, or to pay off their debt, or to make improvements on the clubhouse, however they wish to do. But we've been successful at doing these repurposing projects and really breathing new life back in these clubs, Bob.
We're talking to Bobby Weed from Bobby Weed Golf Design. Look into your crystal ball a little bit for me, Bobby, and tell me the prototype of golf courses 5-10 years down the road. What are we going to be looking at?
I don't think you're going to see a lot of new golf courses. I think attrition continues in our industry and will continue over the next 5 or 10 years. I think we're all understanding, certainly we are, from our standpoint, myself and my partner, Chris Monty, we feel like we need to be rebuilding and renovating and building more fun and interesting golf courses, try to take away that penal aspect of it. And we have such a wide range of golfers to accommodate today. until that's become the big challenge for golf course architects everywhere.
What is your favorite golf hole? Is it a short par three with plenty of risk and reward? Is it a drivable par four, which seems to be in vogue at the moment, or is it a par five? Do you have a favorite?
I really embrace variety and options. I think if you can create variety and options, I think you can. I still like building a short par three, and I enjoy building a really long par three. And the same with par fours. I'm okay with a shorter drivable par four. And at the same time, par fives are probably the most difficult to build today in some ways, because we like to try to place a lot of premium on the second shot. But for so many players, actually a very select few of the tour players, it's hard to put them on a par five these days. But we have to be careful not to be building these golf courses for these tour players. That's less than 1%, and they're great, getting better all the time. So we have to be a little cautious about that. But as courses get longer, I really don't want length to be the determining factor, because I think variety and options are still extremely important.
Talking with Bobby Weed from Bobby Weed Golf Design, and certainly when all is said and done, you're going to receive tremendous accolades for the work that you have done in the golf business. But I think even trumping that is going to be something that you created called HEAL, H-E-A-L. Could you tell our listeners what HEAL is and what you're hoping to accomplish with that foundation?
Sure, Bob. As everybody, we all have another side besides our career in golf course design for me, and the other passion that I have with my wife, Leslie, is we have a profoundly autistic daughter, Lanier, who is now 19, and once diagnosed early on, we knew that we were in for the fight of our life, and we were entering an area that we knew nothing about. And so we started, once we got our arms around it, we started a foundation called HEAL, H-E-A-L, Helping Enrich Autistic Lives. And that's been very gratifying for my wife, Leslie, and myself, and the rest of our family. And the mission for HEAL is really just inspiring, educating, and funding services for those affected by autism in our community here in North Florida. I live in Ponte Vedra Beach, here outside of between Jacksonville and St. Augustine, Florida. And we really want to try to make our community the best place to live for all of those that are affected by autism. And we're a local nonprofit organization, and we write grants. We have, since 2004, we've awarded over $2 million in grants for our community.
Well, it's just very impressive stuff. And something that I learned in preparation for my opportunity to talk with you, Bobby Weed, is the tremendous function that iPads bring to autistic children, including your daughter. Explain that for us.
Well, they're very bright. They're all very, very bright, in so many ways. It's really an epidemic, has become an epidemic in our country. The CDC, the Center of Disease Control, reports now that 1 in 50 school-aged individuals are diagnosed with the autism spectrum disorder. A rise that sharp in numbers has been described as a epidemic among children, and just bringing more awareness is what we're all about. But these children are immensely talented and very bright. They're trapped in their bodies, Bob, and their mind is working triple double overtime all the time, it seems like. And the way we have been able to understand this more is my daughter is nonverbal. And we've done sign language and whatnot, but more recently we've started a program of facilitated communication where we're using iPads, and they're actually typing letters and words on their iPads, and expressing themselves for the first time, and it's unleashed a whole new world. These children and adults are extremely intelligent, and this is a great way for us to reach out and to allow these children a voice. They all need a voice, and we're working very hard to try to help, assist, and do whatever we can for these children and their families.
Well, for everybody that plays this wonderful game of golf, a game of a lifetime, I want to thank you for all the work that you do in designing these golf courses and repurposing others. But I think a bigger thank you has to be directed towards you for the work that you are doing with autistic children. You're coming at it firsthand, so you know exactly what can be done and what cannot be done. And a good place to get more information on HEAL would be, give us your website there, Bob.
HEALAutismNow.org. HEALAutismNow.org is our website, and you can go on our website and browse our website and see what's happening in our community. Watch videos of our camps and find ways to become involved with HEAL. We also do service dogs. We fund grants for service dogs. We do sports camps, educational seminars. And of course, I mentioned the iPads that we're trying to put in all of these classrooms. So we're busy. My wife Leslie is totally immersed in our foundation, and we have three daughters, and our youngest daughter is Lanier, and she's now 19, and she has enlightened us in ways we never imagined, and we've gone down paths we never knew that we could go down. So she's been a great inspiration to us, Bob, and it's been very gratifying for us to try to give back within our community. And you know, guys like Ernie Ells is also doing great things down in South Florida. He has a school down there for autistic children, and doing wonderful things as so many others. The PGA Tour at TPC Sawgrass adopted our foundation, and they've been a tremendous support for our cause here in North Florida. And you know about the charitable giving of the PGA Tour. That's what they're all about. And so it's a great effort on many fronts. And you know, it's something that we're very passionate about.
Well, Bobby Weed, you're an inspiration, and I hope someday in the not too distant future we find a cure for autism. That would be the equivalency of designing another St. Andrews or another Augusta National. Bobby Weed, thanks for your time and continued success with HEAL.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me on. Always appreciate it very much.
Good stuff with golf course designer Bobby Weed. I always love hearing architects' thoughts on golf courses, especially one, Bob, that worked with Pete Dyan. The HEAL stuff, that's great.
Yeah, it really is. If we could ever get a cure for autism, it would be amazing.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.